now to developing news this morning. A peace deal has been reached between Iran and the United States. Pakistan, which has been leading the negotiations, broke the news a short time ago. US President Donald Trump says he's instructed the US Navy to end its blockade of Iranian ports. Meanwhile, Iran says its maritime traffic through the Gulf will be regulated in coordination with Oman. That's according to the Fars news agency. Professor Charles Kupchan is a senior fellow at the Council on Foreign Relations, a former advisor to Barack Obama on European policy, and joins me now. Charles, welcome to Breakfast.
Good to be with you. Good morning.
Charles, we've almost been here before. Many times we've been told that some kind of peace agreement is imminent. Are we there now? Does this look like the real thing?
I think it's 90% solid because Donald Trump has said deal. The Pakistanis have said deal. We're still waiting for the Iranians to say deal. But Trump, up until now, has always said, we're on the cusp. I see the finish line. We're almost there. Now he's saying we're there, which suggests to me that the parties have reached an agreement. But it's important to underscore that this is an agreement that basically says, let's open the Strait of Hormuz and then start talking about the really tough issues. So this is just the beginning of what will be a long, drawn-out, difficult process.
How important will it be to hear from Iran to be 100% sure that at least this stage has been formally reached?
Well, I think we need two things from Iran. One is an authoritative statement from one of the top leaders. And one of the strange aspects of this whole thing is nobody really knows who's in control in Iran. It's apparently Mojtaba Khamenei, who's the son of the former supreme leader, but nobody knows where he is. Nobody has seen him. He's in hiding because he's afraid he'd get assassinated. And so there's just a very strange decision-making process there. But we need some official statement that, yes, we've reached a ceasefire. And then the second key, and in some ways this is more important, we need to see Iran stand down. We need to see that cargo ships and tankers are starting to pass through the Strait of Hormuz unobstructed, that the Iranians are helping clear the mines, telling the U.S. Navy and others where the mines are. In other words, we need Iran to say business is open, the strait is open, the oil is flowing.
Where does all this leave Israel and Lebanon? We've seen an angry phone call, another one, from US President Donald Trump to Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu after strikes on southern Beirut. Some analysts have actually said if we see further these strikes at the last minute, that is an indication that a deal is on. Israel's doing what it can do before there's some kind of agreement.
Well, I would say that there are two big threats to this agreement sticking. One is the core issues themselves, and it's completely conceivable to me that when Iran and the United States start talking about disposal of Iran's highly enriched uranium, suspending further enrichment, controls on Iran's ballistic missiles, they don't find common ground. And then the other problem is that war continues on other fronts. Israel, Gaza. Israel, Lebanon, Houthis launching missiles against Israel. This is supposed to be a full spectrum ceasefire that includes Israel and Lebanon. Let's see where it goes. I don't think the Israelis are very happy about this ceasefire. I don't think they want Lebanon to be included because Benjamin Netanyahu is headed into an election later this year. He's got unfinished business on every front. Hezbollah continues to launch missiles and drones into Israel. So it's going to be hard to kind of keep this ceasefire between Iran and the United States going if we see more and more fighting between Israel and Hezbollah.
Charles, as we're speaking, well and truly is breaking news unfolding. As we're speaking, Reuters is reporting now that Iran's deputy foreign minister says they will enter negotiations after unfreezing of assets, end of blockade and end of war. What do you make of those remarks?
That is, I would say, a bit of a cold shower on the deal, because the United States is not going to unfreeze assets before there's progress on the underlying issues. I think the nature of this deal is, let's get the strait open while we begin to talk. But the main source that the United States, the main source of leverage the United States continues to wield is the economic sanctions, their ability to strangle Iran's economy, the fact that there are billions of dollars in foreign in Iran in assets frozen in foreign banks. So there's no way that Trump can afford to start the flow of money to Iran without getting significant progress on the nuclear issue. And that is going to take weeks and probably months of negotiations. Worth keeping in mind that the nuclear deal that Obama negotiated took over 2 years. So the fact that the Iranians are saying, we'll start talking after our assets are unfrozen, that says to me, we may not be there yet.
It may sound like an overly simplistic question, but how will we know that the strait is truly open? Will it need to be a number of commercial ships going through, or will it be naval ships? How do we know that it's safe again?
Well, it's going to take some time for the strait to reopen, in part because there are mines there, and Iran may not know where all of them are. Mine clearing is a laborious process. It could take a number of weeks before the lane, there are two main lanes, one going out and one coming in, before there is assurance that it's clear. And then I think you just have to test the waters. You have to have some warships pass through. You have to have a few cargo ships pass through and make sure that nobody takes a shot at them. Once that happens, once the insurance companies feel like their ships can start going through and they will be safe and they will make it to their destination, then you're going to see the full flow. But that, I think, is something that is going to take weeks and perhaps months. Will the impact on the price of oil be more immediate? Yes. And that's because this is about perceptions. It's about wanting to see a green light that the oil is going to flow again. But the actual increase in supply, getting oil and gas out of the Persian Gulf, that's going to take some time.
Charles, it's been so valuable to get your analysis. This news has been developing under our feet. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.